Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Welcome aboard to Hybrid Jazz. It's a glorious day in Baltimore. It didn't start out to be that way. Sure wasn't yesterday. We'll take it. We'll take it. Please, spring. Oh, please come and stay a while like a lover that won't let go. That would be wonderful. My name is Trish Hennessy. I am so glad that Dave introduced you to the show. Let me just say this at the top, all right? If the UPS delivery person comes at any time, I will have to vacate this particular microphone and head downstairs. My new laptop is due any second, okay? And I've already missed this guy once, so I'm not going to take a chance. Matter of fact, when Amy K. Bormitt comes next hour, the founder of the Washington Women in Jazz Festival that is just so buzzed about these days and is happening this week and next, Amy will take over the show if I have to run downstairs and sign for the Dell that I've just purchased, okay? So, in other words, I'm saying to you, there might be some dead air on the show today, which would be a typical day anyway, right? That is so bad. Hey, look, it's going to be a great show. We're going to celebrate all things women and jazz and love and spring and good times and pioneers who have forged the way for us. And this is one for sure. Lil Hardin Armstrong. This is called Eastern Boogie on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Jazz. Now, didn't you need to hear that? Oh, that was tasty. Roberta Flack, just so wonderful to hear her whenever there's a chance to play her. From 1994's album called Roberta, full of jazz and soul standards, including that one, Tenderly. Everybody and his mama through the years has done that, but Roberta, woo! She made people feel the way Les McCann felt when he first saw her in a D.C. club. Roberta had been born in Black Mountain, North Carolina, but she was raised in the shadow of D.C., Arlington, Virginia, showed true promise as a pianist at a very young age, and she was one of the youngest students at Howard University. 15. She graduated when she was 19. So she would play in some of the clubs, and she would do what her classical training dictated. She would play with classical artists, and in between time, in between breaks, she would do jazz, and she would do the music of the day, the songs that she has always known and loved, and then she picked up along the way. So one of these times, Les McCann had come in and heard her and went, "Oh, my God." He experienced every emotion, he said. Joy and pain, sunshine and rain. Seriously, he loved her and recommended her to Atlantic Records, who signed her. Now, you may have known this, that when she did that 1969 debut, First Take, there was a few songs on there, and one of the songs was "First Time Ever I Saw Your Face." And Clint Eastwood heard that song, and he wanted it for Play Misty for Me back in, 1971? And was so enamored of Roberta Flack's talent that he asked for her to do the end music for Dirty Harry, too. I love this trivia. Oh, my God. Clint Eastwood and Roberta Flack. Now, that's an unusual, odd couple, but he just really appreciated her talent, and so many have through the years. Nobody's ever going to forget what she did with Donny Hathaway. And it's just hard to believe now that Roberta is 76. Yeah. And she's going to do an event at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida in April. Man, I would love to see her. We call her Washington, D.C.'s favorite daughter, even though technically she wasn't born there. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of history with she in D.C., and we're all about Washington women in jazz today because of the fact that this stupendous event is this week in Washington. It's the third annual Washington Women in Jazz Festival, and Amy K. Bormitt is coming up next hour to tell you about it. We're going to play some songs. I am so tickled because all of this came together within the past few days. It just jumped out at me because there's so much to remember doing this show that some of these local and regional events are the lifeblood of making sure that they get to be again. So this bodes well. Third year for the festival, and the talent is just crazy. Matter of fact, to close it out next week, it's going to be Jerry Allen. Oh, just so exciting. Let me tell you what else we heard. We heard Corinthia Cromwell on saxophone from Peace of Mind Outside the Lines. That's right, that's right. Groove Stew, the name of the song, her Evolution band backing her up. Congratulations to Corinthia because she just won an award from the National Association of Negro Business Professional Women. She just accepted that award the other day with Rain Pryor. That was cool to see them together in pictures. Very nice. And to start it off, it was Lil Hardin Armstrong. Born in 1898, passed away in 1971. That song, East Town Boogie, from 1947. If you want to see a definitive review of all that Lil had done in her life, go to redhotjazz.com and learn. Among other things, she was part of King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band. That's where she met Louis Armstrong in 1921. Let me tell you something. She got Louis away from being a country bumpkin. She made him turn around as far as assessing his abilities. She was the one, Lil Hardin Armstrong, who made him into the man that he was. This is no joke. She got him to leave the King Creole Band. And, man, you talk about the rest being etched in history. Crazy. They were so tight. They didn't stay together. They did marry. But the time they had together was extremely pivotal. And I'll tell you why. These stories just kill me. In 1971, Louis had passed away. And Lil was divorced. Really contentious stuff had happened between them because Louis was involved with another woman. I meant to say plural women, but one in particular. And I don't know how they parted when they last spoke, but Lil was doing a tribute performance for him, and she passed away during the performance, 2 months after he had passed away. So that's some love right there, the love you cannot deny, and you can't really talk about it without crying, because this is what people do. When they spend so much time together and it's a soulmate scenario, even if they part, it's like that. Whew. Let us turn our attention to Jonathan Kreisberg. He's got a brand new CD called One. He was on the show a few months ago. Holy cow, did the numbers pick up when he was on the show? So many people are enamored of what he has done with this guitar. One being a pivotal title because Jonathan is one with his guitar. This is beautiful. This is a work that was written by Baden Powell and Vinicius de Moraes. This is called Canto de Asante on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
sexiness. You got me open, babe.
You got me.
When we make sweet love, it's nothing short of magic, girl.
Checking to see if you're all right. Micah Chevalier and Brian Christopher right there. A new single called In the Groove. Now, I got to tell you, first of all, I wanted to play Micah because we're all about Washington women today, all right? Because Amy K. Bormitt's going to be here in less than 30 minutes or so, checking in to talk about the Washington Women in Jazz Festival. Absolutely excited about that, but very excited about Micah and Brian Christopher. Now, here's why. I didn't know this when I programmed the song in, because Micah and I are in touch pretty regularly, and she had told me that the single's getting some recognition. I had known that, of course. But what I didn't know was that Soul Tracks had made this single, In the Groove, one of their first listens. This is a big deal, and this is what was said about the song you just heard. Micah Chevalier could sing Happy Birthday to My Grandmother and make it sound like a sensual classic. This is what is said on the SoulTracks.com website. She's been compared to a young Patti Austin, and her clear, sweet tones were a big part of what has made the debut by the group Guilty Pleasures one of our favorites a couple years ago. Micah is now back with a new single that picks up where her Guilty Pleasures work left off. Singing with fine baritone vocalist Brian Christopher, she delivers In the Groove, a sexy single that is just perfect for some romantic late-night listening. Check out In the Groove below and tell us what you think about the smooth new tune. That's very nice, huh? Wow. And on top of that, good news, if you are in the Silver Spring area, you might want to check out the wonderful Italian restaurant Vicino's. Micah is going to be there with the producer of the tune that you just heard playing saxophone at the end. Normally he is known as a keyboardist, Daoud Saeed. And Lee Pearson's also going to be in the mix. So the best of artists are going to be with Micah on stage. And then she is going to rejoin the cast of All the Man I Need at the Atlas Performing Arts Center. So that's going to be coming up in April, and she's going to be at Vicino's on the 25th of March. And Brian's got some stuff he's doing, too. Can't keep up with these two. Honest to goodness, they are really putting pedal to the metal, and that's really so cool. Just nice to know that folks are paying attention to their careers and nurturing, watering them like plants, because they are. And they are being bloomed where they are planted, as a matter of fact. David Sanborn, we heard too. Oh my, Closer. The name of the CD, which was out in 2005, and he had two Horace Silver songs on this particular collection, and that was one of them. And the song is called Enchantment. And on the album with him, Larry Goldings, Gil Goldstein, Mike Manieri on vibraphone, Russell Malone, Christian McBride, God, has he made the rounds in the past few years, Steve Gadd on drums, oh my goodness, Luis Quintero on percussion, Liz Wright stopped by to do a track on here, Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight, which is the price of the CD, honestly. And also Bob Shepard on tenor and soprano saxes. David Sanborn, I was happy to hear about this, and my friend Mary might not know this, who lives in Philly, my hometown. I think you know that by this point. But David Sanborn's making the rounds for a few dates this year with Bob James, and one of the dates he's going to make is the beautiful Keswick in Glenside, PA, outside of Philly, which used to be a movie theater, by the way. And for the past many years, it's been one of those exceptional venues. So if you get a chance, do some tooling around. David Sanborn, find out where he's going to be. Please go see him. He is a national treasure, and you know, nobody is promised tomorrow. That could mean somebody who's in his 60s or somebody in their 30s or 20s these days. Doesn't make any difference. When you know that great music is around you, you have to go and support it, which is why Amy K. Bormitt. Oh, excuse me. We got to go to a song right away because the UPS man is here. Here we go. Thank you. Women in Jazz, it's the coolest thing. And here's more on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Man, I'll tell you what, we are loving this. Beach in the chat room, a.k.a. my bride of Funkenstein, she is really digging it, and I am too. You know, it's just such a rarity. Come on now. When you have a quintet that is led by a woman on trombone and a woman on baritone sax, get out of Dodge. Woo! Jen Krupa and Lee Pilzer, they make up the JLQ. And if you want to, you can certainly go to CD Baby and Amazon to find out more. I just wanted to make sure I get some bio information, including the personnel. And I'm playing Lee because she's part of the Washington Women in Jazz Festival. And, man, I would imagine she smokes the stage. Also, you should know Tony Nalker on piano, Pete Revelle on bass, and Chuck Redd, our good friend who's been on the show, on drums. And these two gals got together. They were inspired by the duo collaborations of pairings through the years of Jerry Mulligan and Bob Brookmeyer, J.J. Johnson and Kai Winding. We used to say in Philadelphia, Winding, and Al Cohn and Zoot Sims. So these gals are going back. And I can't say enough about how cool that is. That was a song that was actually just inspired by what you heard, because we played Cindy Bradley, Mass Transit, beforehand, so I thought Walkin' Shoes might be cool to play right after that. Woo! Jen Krupa, Lee Pilzer, JLQ, Walkin' Shoes. Woo! And we also heard, yes, from Unscripted, Mass at Transit, Cindy Bradley, who I see is doing some dates with Peter White, and Alex Bunyan. The dates are piling up, and of course she's going to be at Catalina this year, so that's very cool. But on the top of her priorities, teaching, which she's still doing, and quoting from her kids, I love that, and making sure her plans are intact for her upcoming nuptials to Dan Cipriano. So I'm waiting for that. Not going to wait for the invitation. I know that's not going to come, but that's okay. Just knowing they're going to be happy is wonderful. Now, look, I had to run out, and I couldn't intro the song properly, but we also heard Michael McDonald with the Doobie Brothers, Minute by Minute, which we have not played on Hyper Jazz, and it really does belong. Michael was 61 last month and doing his thing this year all over the place, going out on some dates with Boss Skaggs. My son tells me this is nothing new, but every time I see that Michael and Boz are doing a tour, I get excited all over again, because this is my generation. So butt out, T! From back in the day, 1978, The Doobies, the album of the same name, Minute by Minute, and if you go to Michael McDonald's website, you will see a couple of surprises. One of them is that one of the Porcaro brothers has a newer CD out, and the other is that Dylan McDonald has a work out that you need to put your ears to. Oh, Dylan McDonald, all grown up, Michael's son, doing his thing, following in Dad's footsteps. It's a very cool situation. And so is the homage that Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake did on Fallon's show the other day. They did a three-part Row, Row, Row Your Boat, with Jimmy starting it out, then Justin, and then Michael McDonald. It was a hoot. And so is the hour that has come upon us going to be, and I'll tell you why. And I'm stalling for a little bit of time so that Amy Kay can make her way into the building. You know, we talk about this all the time on Hybrid Jazz, and you know that it's important to me, for sure. Women who play jazz, they come in varying shapes, sizes, and colors, and when they play with all of their heart, it's just an amazing scenario to behold. I'm going to find out from this lady who's on the phone now how she has been able to do this, because for me, being not only a radio host and having done this for a while, but having tried to organize events Let me tell you something. Sisters and brothers, it is no walk in the park. So for Amy K. Bormitt to do this for 3 years now, to put this beautiful, much buzzed about event together in Washington, D.C., in the nation's capital, for God's sake, is something else. And we're going to be hearing a song from Amy. We're also going to be hearing actually a few. You've just heard one from an amazing partnership from Jen and Lee. And you're going to be hearing something from Amy and something from a past winner of this beautiful contest that they have at the Washington Women in Jazz Festival. And you're also going to hear from the lady who is going to close the event next week. It's all very exciting. And without further ado, and I so want to say her name in French, but that is not how she pronounces it. This is Amy K. Bormitt on Hybrid Jazz. Hey, Amy.
Hi, Trish. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I love your voice so much. I love the video you have on the Facebook page for the festival because you sound like the voice of spring.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm very, very happy, and I'm really, really excited about the festival this year.
Oh, look. And listen, I have to ask you, because you're a young woman, you must have some inroads. How did you ever get to start it, first of all? And then has it been challenging to keep it afloat? Because this is a monumental task, Amy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I have a lot of support. I graduated from Duke Ellington School of the Arts here in D.C., and also went to Howard University. So I know a lot of people in town. That helps. And I've been gigging on the scene for about 10 years. So I know a lot of the club owners, a lot of the different venues that have come and gone in town, and I've picked out the good ones for the festival. So that's definitely been a big help, knowing everybody and knowing what was going on the scene and in the different venues and being able to find things that would be attracted to the venue and the audience. So,
I just love the whole idea of it, Amy. I really do, and I appreciate you so much. What was it that made it your priority to organize this event?
What's just really important to me to get a lot of the amazing women that I knew, and well, first to get them to play with me, second to get them to be a part of this and really form this giant behemoth that cannot be ignored by first the D.C. jazz scene and now the broader East Coast jazz scene, and being able to get that kind of press and publicity behind it when we all work together and put together something that, you know, is a major event every year.
Now, was it a scenario where it got to be frustrating for you? Because, look, let's face it, and I've been thinking about this lately, and bear with me while I try to explain this, but it may resonate with you. Through the years since I've been involved in jazz and talking about it on the radio, there have been more than a few times where I've checked credits for some of the wonderful works that I've heard through the years, and it's almost a given that female talent wasn't even mentioned, even vocalization.
Yeah.
So has it been a source of frustration for you that jazz has heretofore been a male-dominated scenario, and are you fixing to change that for the rest of the world now?
Dang, that's a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's really, two sides of the same coin. There's, a lot of people are interested in seeing female jazz musicians because it's unique, but we all know that it's not unique. So
yeah.
There are a lot of women out there who are playing, especially instrumentalists, and who aren't getting the attention they deserve. So on one hand, it's easy to market. Here's women in jazz, and I have incredibly beautiful, talented women on my festival. But on the other hand, it's kind of frustrating to see that people aren't being brought out and that female instrumentalists aren't as common as they should be, and I don't want to treat people like tokens. This is something that's happening everywhere. There's women in jazz festivals everywhere, and bringing it to D.C. and being able to do something where I can really feature the local women, the regional women who are playing in this area and who are really fantastic musicians. That was something that was incredibly important when I started this.
You know what? It's been really interesting since doing this show for going on 2 years now, but having been involved in broadcasting for many years, actually since 1976, it's been really a unique set of circumstances to reach out to women who are instrumentalists in jazz in particular and say to them, whether they're local or regional and sometimes national and international, although the confidence level gets to be so much when you reach that particular plateau that it's this, what I'm going to describe isn't so acute. But I see that women kind of back off and don't step up to what they should be stepping up to. I see that there's intimidation. There's a little bit of trepidation. There's one of those other shun words with yeah. T-I-O-N at the end, because they're surrounded by men who have been doing this for a lot longer. Do you find that, Amy, when you talk to some of the, especially with the younger gals, and, you know, you've got this youth competition, which I think is fabulous, and I want you to talk about it, but do you find that some women pull back when you ask them to participate?
Well, definitely, and I think it's, you know, my whole gen, I'm 28. When I grew up learning this music, I learned from Dave Yarbrough at Duke Ellington School, and he's one of the most incredible educators that I think has ever existed. And he never treated me any differently. He had me hauling equipment up and down the stairs. He had me doing the same things in line with everyone else. And I feel like the way that the education system for jazz studies has developed is that a lot of these women are coming out of college thinking that they are, you know, they are one of the gang, and getting out of college and finding the startling reality that they're not getting the gigs they want because they're not making the friends and the connections that they wanted in the broader, older DC jazz scene. So that was a little bit frustrating to me. But when I came back, when I finished my undergraduate work at University of Michigan, and I graduated from there, and I came back and I saw all of these amazing women on the scene, but you had to sort of scratch beneath the surface to find them. And I was gigging and I was playing and I had very little resistance to me playing and getting gigs because I knew exactly what I wanted. And I was taking a stand for that. And I was taking, full acceptance of the fact that I was a musician and that I was entitled to play this music and that I was taking ownership of it. And that's what I wanted to see these other women doing, is taking ownership of it, publicizing themselves really as jazz musicians, and that we have a right to play this music, we have a history with this music, and it belongs to us just as it belongs to everyone. So that's been very important.
You're preaching to the choir, and just the I love the idea, and I saw this quote somewhere that says that you certainly are the founder of this idea and this event, but the whole premise was to create collaboration and community. I love that, because not to sound trite, but it does. It fosters sisterhood as opposed to folks looking over their shoulder. And, we get this kind of attitude from men. We've always had this. They rub their hands together thinking, oh, there's going to be a cat fight here. Oh, so-and-so is so envious of the other person. It's ridiculous, because we all have these different kinds of talents that we bring to the table, and each of us is on our different path about what we can do to make sure that we not only are the best that we all can be, but to bring somebody else up so that they can join the club.
Definitely, yeah, and there's plenty of room at the table. That's, this whole thing has been such a generous experience in D.C., and just the support I've gotten, not only from women musicians, women writers, and but the broader D.C. community. Everyone is really backed up and is so happy to see this positive message coming out of the festival, and that the instrumentalists and the vocalists are getting along. It's And we're not treating anybody like they're less than anyone else. This is, you know, this is a very egalitarian love fest. So it's been great. It's been really great. And I feel like the DC community over the last 4 or 5 years, I've seen a really big sea change. You know, the Bohemian Caverns Jazz Orchestra every Monday night has been fostering a lot of talent in the area. Shannon Gunn has started her all-female big band, the Bullets. And there's just a lot of incredible DC talent, Christy DeShield, Elijah Balbed, all these kids coming out who are really great musicians and making DC, you know, a destination for live jazz.
That's really awesome. And you know what? I'm just going to put it out there. I wanted to make sure I got the okay from you before I did this because I made a couple of friends by way of putting this together. And thank you so much, Amy, for saying, yeah, let's do this in a short space of time because there's so much happening in this Mid-Atlantic region. It's a little tricky to keep up with what's going on. But this Washington Women in Jazz Festival is so important to so many people, not just women, but men as well, because you know what? There are a lot of men who want to see this happen and think it's long overdue that attention needs to be paid to women who are just exceptional. So I wanted to make sure that I put out the phone number, 323-843-6172. Amy gave permission to say, look, the more the merrier. If anybody wants to talk about this, this is cool.
Definitely.
323-843-6172. I think we're going to get a call from your winner from last year, by the way.
Yes, our Young Artist Contest. That was our inaugural contest last year. And it was great. We had a great time. And Danielle Wirtz, who won last year, is a fabulous vocalist. She comes out of Northern Virginia. She was singing with the Annandale Youth Jazz Orchestra down there, and they toured Russia. And she's just amazing in front of a big band. So this year, by special request, she is singing in front of the Shannon Gunn and the Bullets, the all-female big band that will be playing Friday night at the festival.
Wow.
And it's just going to be fabulous. So I'm really, really excited to have her back. And she came all the way up from Miami. She's not even on her spring break. It's at the University of Miami where she's getting a jazz studies degree. So I'm really excited to hear from her. And she'll be also on Saturday at the contest. She'll be singing a little intermission set while we tally the scores. So it'll be great.
That's great. Look, let me tell you something. This past 48-hour period, I've been immersed in some of the music. And thank you to you because – you know, when you see the women who are associated with this festival and get to hear their talent, it is mind-boggling. And I heard Danielle do her take of In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning, and I just fell out. Because how old is she?
I think she's 19 now. Yeah.
19?
Oh, my game.
God, it's like, you know, these little old souls in these young women. And look, we got a call. 702, you're on the line. You're talking to Trish and Amy. Who is this? Wait a minute. There you are. Hello.
Trish, it's EC.
Hey, EC. What are you doing?
calling in. I was listening to your show, and I heard Miss Amy on the show, who I had the pleasure of playing with not that long ago. And I just thought I would call in and just kind of voice my opinion on women instrumentalists in jazz. So that's what I was calling for.
Oh, awesome. Go right ahead, please.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as I see it and the people that I work with, I have no qualms playing with anybody that's paid dues in the practice room and have put in the time, you know, to play this particular art form because, as Amy knows, it's a very serious art form, and it requires a lot of practice and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And anybody, I could care less of gender, race, or anything else. If they put in that time, then it's on the bandstand. You know, I have no qualms with that. I, as a matter of fact, I welcome it all day long. And as you know, on my latest record, I have Janelle Gill, who is a lady out of the D.C. area, playing piano with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing piano with me. So, I mean, you know, personally, I love and respect anybody that's put in the time, regardless of who they are, where they come from, or anything like that at all.
Well, and I got to say, EC, it's so cool to know that you put your money where your mouth is, because you really gave Janelle time to shine on the CD, and man.
Oh, I had no choice. She took it. she made me give her that time, and she deserved everything she's getting. She deserves it, you know, because she's one of the people that have put in the time and you know, put in that practice time to be where she's at right now, to play the way she's playing right now.
Well, and it goes without saying, or maybe that's not the right phraseology to use, but if you have encountered folks taking a second look at you, no matter what the circumstances of who you are, your color or your gender, when you have encountered that, you are apt to be much more sensitive to other folks who are enduring some similar circumstances.
Right.
EC, you have been through a war or two in your career as far as somebody looking at you like you're made out of green cheese.
Absolutely.
So it gives you a whole big sensitivity factor and understanding that women go through some stuff that they should have never endured as far as trying to make their mark in jazz is concerned.
Well, they do, and I think they have to do the same thing, you know, just me as a minority person, a person of color, living in Las Vegas for over 14 years, doing all the shows. You remove those handicaps so that they have no choice but to hire you. You know, and in my situation, you know, living in Vegas, it was a very racist town at that time, and they didn't want to hire very many blacks to play the shows. You didn't see a lot of us in the orchestra pit. So the way that you would get around that is you make sure you didn't have a handicap. And I say what I mean by that is you make sure that you're proficient with your reading, with your playing, with being on time. You do all those things. And you're, if you're up on your game, they have absolutely no choice but to hire you. And I think it's the same with any other, with the female. If somebody's looking at a female in a funny way or not wanting to hire them, you give them no reason not to hire you. And at that point, you can get up in someone's face and say, I know I deserve this gig. There's no way in the world you shouldn't have hired me. And they really can't say anything to you at that point. And I know me being a person of color, that's what I did, and that's why I was very successful at working on the high end in Vegas and doing all the major shows.
Very cool. Very cool. Amy, does any of that resonate with you? Because I know that you've been through a couple of things in your life, too.
I love it. I love EC. Thank you for calling, man. that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. And you know how much I love Janelle. We were just talking about that when I was listening to your CD last week.
Yes.
And Janelle is an amazing musician, and, you know, she's also come out of D.C. and out of Duke Ellington, so I'm really happy to say that she's another one of Dave Yarbrough's students, and I just give huge props to him because he brought us all upright and really has done a lot for the D.C. jazz scene with Ben Williams and Jessica Boykin Settles and Brian Settle, all these amazing musicians who are playing, you know, up and down the East Coast right now are coming out of there, and she's one of them. I just adore her, and any chance I get to talk to her, I do, and I have nothing but respect and love for her. So, and you too, EC, so it's just great.
Oh,
and
yeah.
From a drummer's perspective, Trish, Amy can swing too. So let me just throw that in there. She can swing.
Well, now you're trying to get extra points.
I know that she can because I heard the CD. Look, I've been doing a lot of listening in the past few days. Woo, man.
Get some brownie points in. Get my brownie points in.
I'm
going to
go to that gig, EC.
It's beginning to sound like a love fest. I'm starting to go into my little sugar rush here. Oh,
that's
my God.
Funny.
And it just so happens that in the next hour, I've got Janelle on tap with EC on that new CD because, look, he lets her run with a particular song that has become my favorite, but that's a different story entirely.
You won't let me know. That's why, you know, I'm sitting here waiting to see what this song is. You won't even tell me what your favorite is on my CD. I can't know your favorite without listening. So you got me tuned in for the whole show.
Okay, cool. I like that. See, that's why I do it.
I know you do. I know it.
EC,
well, thanks
I really
so much for your time,
it.
Trish. Amy, keep swinging, and I'll talk with you all soon.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you,
okay,
EC.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. He is a trip, isn't he? Oh, my God. You know what? It's really cool to hear the kind of feedback that you probably have received over and over. And now, Amy, I'm sure that folks are coming to you asking if they can be part of this, right?
Definitely, yeah. I'm trying to make it bigger and bigger so I can get more and more people. I'm actually working this summer. I'm planning on getting all the nonprofit paperwork together so I can apply for some grants and afford to expand this bigger and bigger and have more and more people under the umbrella of the festival, because it is getting such good publicity and such great support from the DC jazz scene. So
that's really cool. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because this is really important. We talk about this all the time in Baltimore and in D.C. and Philly, my hometown, as well. The folks who were on board with you from the beginning, so many times we talk down about these venues because, you know, there's that constant pressure of, God, are you kidding? That's all they're paying you to do this gig? We hear this kind of stuff all the time, but in the past several years, while things have tried to even out as far as the economy is concerned, some of these venues have been trying so hard to think out of the box. Who has been with you from the very beginning as far as some of these places where women in jazz, the Washington Women in Jazz Festival, who have been there for you from the get?
Well, I think the biggest supporter I have right now is Brad Lindy over at the Atlas Performing Arts Center on H Street in Northeast. And Brad and Sam Sweet and all the people over there are incredible, and they've been putting together some really great programming since that performing space has been opened. And so they started that jazz series there last year, and I've been able to present. This year I'm going to have both the opening night and the closing night there. So Kimberly Johnson
wow.
will be the opening night with the All-Stars. And that's tomorrow night. And
yes.
And then a week from tomorrow night is the closing night on the 27th with the incredible Jerry Allen. So for them to give me that space and, you know, to work with me and putting those events on has just been incredible. And I'm so blessed and so happy to have them be a part of this.
That's wonderful. Really is wonderful because, you just are hesitant sometimes about talking about some. I have been too free, and I surely am not getting paid by anybody when I mention where artists are going to get played. And it just seems like doors are opening up more and more, and I'm happy to see that. But when somebody who's been in the trenches and working with some of these club managers or owners say something so cool about over and above the call of duty, that means everything. That's gold.
Definitely, definitely. And, I'm also getting a big hand this year from where EC and I just played on Thursday at HR 57. We're going to be having the Young Artist Contest there, and Tony Passan up there has been great about having me do that on a Saturday in the middle of the day, and I'm going to have those kids up there, and I think it's a great place for them to get their first experience, performing in a legitimate jazz club. But it's during the day, and it's real chill, and everyone there is very easy to get along with, and so that'll be another great one that Tony has really helped me out in being available and really willing and totally supporting me and handing out. I gave him a giant stack of postcards, and he's been handing them out every day at the venue. And
aww.
Everybody, hearing about it from him. Everybody who's been to HR 57 in the last 3 weeks has said to me, I got your postcard. Well, that's nice.
That's great.
That's another good spot in my book.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's really good news. Well, I want to hear about the Young Artist Contest, and we'll talk about that, but let's give folks a taste of and tell me about your last name, because you know I want to say so badly. I want to do the Sade thing and say Bourmé.
No, everybody does. That's what my husband calls me, Gourmé. So
I love
what
it.
What are you gonna do? It's because I'm really bad at cooking, but it's just Bormit. It's German. It's Bormit.
It's German.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, it looks French, so you win both ways. So
that's what I figured. As long as I look like I'm Parisian, it'll be okay.
Just keep wearing the beret. Okay.
Exactly. Perfect.
Well, I wanted to give folks who are not familiar with your work a taste of what you do, and I think it's so interesting that we've talked over the more communicated for the past couple of days, but you chose to send me from your CD Striking this particular track, and I find this terribly amusing, Amy, so please tell us about Girly Samba of Death and Destruction.
This is a song that I've been playing for about, I don't know, six years now, I guess. And I wrote it a long time ago. I had a great teacher by the name of Donald Walden, who has now passed, and he's an incredible saxophone player from Detroit. And I brought in a song to play, and he said, you know, why are you always writing these girly, girly songs? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, you just want to write everything in three and everything, you know, ballads. And so I was finally like, oh, I can write something really angry. So I wrote this song, and it's inspired by sort of a, you know, it's like a kind of a volcanic eruption type song. So it was a samba. Now the recording that I did on my CD is a little less samba-like. Some parts go into a samba, but it's called the Girly Samba of Death and Destruction.
I love it. This is Amy K. Bormit on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. And by the way, I'm just going to tell you about this phone number in case you're thinking about calling in to say what you need to say about Washington Women in Jazz and the festival. 323-843-6172. Thank you. that, Professor. That ain't no girly song.
Hey, I thought it'd be perfect for the theme, right?
Oh, that's awesome. Amy, it's so cool because one of our wonderful folks in the chat room, Griselda, who has been with me from the very beginning and listening to these shows, she said, oh, God, I wish I could play the piano like that. I wish I could play it all. But if I had to play the piano, it would be cool to play like that.
Seriously. Well, practice, so that's what I recommend, practicing.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, in hearing it now for the second or third time, it's funny how your mind does the association scenario. I was thinking of Thomas Dolby. She blinded me with science. So I'm thinking, if they ever made a movie of that rock classic now, we would have to incorporate this song into it.
We do a tie-in. All right, I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, please do. That is so awesome. How is it that you got started in piano, and what made you decide to honestly get all hybrid-y on us? Because you really do have a kind of hybrid classical jazz style. I love it.
Well, thank you. Well, I started playing the piano when I was a little kid. My mom went to music school for clarinet, and we had a piano in the house, and I hit it a lot. Really hard, and I really liked the way it sounded. So that's kind of where that started. And my brother is a couple of years older than me, and he took piano lessons, so I had to cut him. So that was really my inspiration as a young child, wanting to be better than my brother. So I got better than him probably when I was, I don't know, 10 or 11. So then he quit in shame, and and I just kept playing, and then he was forced to come to all my concerts, and it was just
embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I know. He hates it even now. He's starting to like jazz now. He's been really into Roland Kirk, so now we can get along about music. But he rebelled and started playing the guitar and had to come to all my choir concerts and all my piano concerts anyway. And he still doesn't want to come to any of my shows. I'm like, but I'm good now. You can come now. People pay money to see me now. Like, come
and
on,
and I'm sure you say to him, look, I won't humiliate you anymore. Come on.
Exactly. I got this. So, yeah, that's how I started. And then moved to D.C. when I was 16. And really, that's when I started getting into jazz. And from Dave Yarbrough, I went to him and I said, I want to be in a jazz band. And then I played a arrangement that I made of Somewhere Over the Rainbow that I totally perfected down to the note. And it made it sound like it was improvised, but I had really just written it out. And so he let me in. So I got in on a hoax. But
Amy, oh my gosh.
So then I was in the jazz band, and it was great. I started singing with the band and playing piano, and it was wonderful. Ben Williams was playing the bass, and there was just a ton of great people. Herbert Scott was playing. He's artist in residence at Bohemian Caverns this month. Just a lot of great people were in the band when I was 16, and they really adopted me and taught me everything. I learned a ton from Mr. Yarbrough himself, but also from just my peers, and then went on to go to University of Michigan and study with the wonderful Ellen Rowe, who's an incredible pianist and arranger and composer, and also with Jerry Allen, who you know. And then came back to D.C. and gigged for a while, and then went to Howard University and studied with Charles Covington. So it's been pretty great, pretty wonderful.
Oh yeah, you had me at Ben Williams. I'm still stuck back there.
me too.
Yeah. Phew, that's pretty heady stuff, and congratulations to Ben, who might be listening. If you're not listening live, you'll be listening to the archives, because that was really wonderful for him to be part of Pat Metheny's Grammy in the past couple of weeks. That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. I just did some recording with him this past weekend with him and Dave Yarbrough over at Dave Yarbrough's house, so there's going to be some recordings coming out for as a promotion for the Washington Jazz Arts Institute. So it was all
fabulous.
People who have graduated from there. So I'll let you
know. Wow. Oh, please do. Yes. Oh, this is really exciting. And actually, we have a caller on the line. I want to make sure that we talk about the Young Artist Contest, because that's really something that needs to get focused on. I know Lee Ritenour has done his part in doing what he can to make sure that young talent in jazz is recognized. But we're going to talk about that. Of course, we have some time, but I want to get to this call, 571 area code. We're talking to Amy K. Bormitt, and now we're going to talk to a guest who has called in. Hello.
Hi, it's Danielle Wirtz.
Hey, Danielle. Yay! Danielle! We're really cool now. We spoke of you in absolute love earlier, so now you get a chance to speak about Amy in love. Tell us your experience.
Oh, awesome. Well, last year I auditioned for the Young Artist Competition as part of the Washington Women in Jazz Festival, and I made it to the finals and performed at HR 57 and actually won. So now I get an incredible opportunity to perform with the Bullettes on Friday.
Wow.
And again at the competition on Saturday.
Yeah, I just got a chill, yay! And by the way, Danielle is taking time away from her class. I'm not sure I'm happy about this, Danielle.
It's all right. Don't worry. My teacher approved it.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
It's a jazz class anyway, so it's fun.
Okay. So, Amy, what did you think when you met Danielle? What was that experience like? Did you know, was there a little voice inside of you that went, oh, boy, she's a contender?
Oh, man. Well, Danielle is great, and she is just such a talented singer, as you've heard on recording, and she has such a great presence, and I had heard about her from John Lane, who's an incredible drummer and plays with everyone ever, and he also is a Howard University graduate, and we were playing a gig, and he said, you have to meet this girl, and she's wonderful, and so he sent her my way and had her apply for the contest, and I was so thrilled that she could be a part of it, and everybody last year sounded great, and Danielle, you know, took home the prize, and I was just so happy, and I'm really, really excited about this year. I think it's going to be great to have her come back and sing with the Bullet.
Oh, for sure. And Danielle, you know, one has to ask a question because, look, I'm old enough to be the grandmother to both of you. Seriously, I've been doing this for a long time, so I have to ask you, Danielle, because you're about maybe 7 years younger than Amy. What was it that sparked an interest in you singing jazz?
Originally, I always just loved to sing, and I love musical theater. My mom majored in musical theater in college, and I auditioned for a big band in eighth grade called the Annandale Jazz Ambassadors under the direction of John Lane, actually.
Wow.
And it was my mom's sort of push that required me to do that because I didn't know what jazz was, and all I knew of jazz was, like, smooth jazz. And I was like, Mom, I like musical theater. Like, jazz is elevator music. And she was like, you need to audition. It's a good opportunity for you to sing. So I auditioned. I sang the national anthem because I didn't even know anything about jazz. And then I got in, actually, based on the national anthem. So I started listening to jazz. My first jazz album that I ever heard was Pure Ella. And I fell in love with Ella. And ever since, that's really all I've listened to. Like, I just sort of immersed myself in the 40s and fell in love with it. So then... an awesome time ever since. And I auditioned for the Blues Alley Youth Orchestra a couple years later and under Michael Bowie's direction. So, and I've been sung with them last year. So, yeah, it's been big band fun ever since.
That is so wild to me. It's like both of you are not really even your age. I'm like talking to women who have been around in past lives or something. Do you feel that way, either of you?
Totally. I know I definitely do.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's funny. Like, everyone in my group of friends, like, they call me the grandma because they think I'm still living in the 40s because that's all I listen to. Like, music that's on the radio, I'm not aware of it. I don't know what it is. All I know is, like, the other day, like, I was listening to Duke Ellington's, like, the Queen Suite, and everyone was talking about, I don't know, some pop artist, and I was like, you guys have to check out this Duke Ellington record. Like, it's so great. And, you know, I'm just not on the same wavelength as everyone else, so... But yeah,
oh my God.
see why I love her. That's it.
You know what? And I totally relate to this because my son is going to be 21 on April the 4th, and he is not of this planet as far as listening to music that his so-called peers are listening to. So he would absolutely connect with you to the max. It's just wonderful because you really do have an appreciation. And actually, Danielle, I can hear it in your voice. What you were able to do with the SoundCloud songs that I heard are just amazing because there's a wisdom in your voice. And Amy, I know that you heard that.
Definitely.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And the way she sings with a big band is just absolutely perfect. So I'm really pretty psyched about that.
Yeah,
Look,
the future is bright. You got to wear shades because I'm thinking that maybe, you know, there's acting possibilities. Maybe there could be a film about Betty Grable or somebody from the 40s or you would fit right in, Danielle.
That's perfect. You know, I have WWJF sunglasses, so that was the perfect thing to say.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God, it was like I was supposed to say it, like I got paid to say it. That's
exactly.
Awesome.
I'm going to send you a free pair. I got them on the Internet. They're on the website.
Oh, that's really too incredible. I love it. Oh, see, and this is cool. Friday night you're going to be singing with Shannon and the Bullettes, correct?
Correct.
Okay, what time and where can people find you so they can learn more about you, Danielle?
We're performing from 6 to 9 on Friday night. We're doing three sets, one from 6 to 7, then 7:20 to 8, and 8:20 to 9. And if they want to find more about me, they can just visit my website. It's just www.daniellewirtz.com.
And that would be the usual way one spells Danielle, but W-E-R-T-Z.
Yeah, W-E-R-T-Z. Yep.
That's awesome. Whoa, you are really going to have a wonderful 2013.
Definitely.
It's already started, and man, I got to tell you both this story. It's just so wild, and it just seems to be important to say. I was trying to find different artists that would be significant to play for the show, and one of those artists is Roberta Flack.
Oh,
and
wow.
Roberta was born in the South. She came to Arlington, Virginia. She went to Howard University, as you probably both know. Mm-hmm. And she was very, very young. She got a full scholarship to Howard. She was 15 when she entered. And what she would do is she would play in some of the clubs, classical music, but in between sets, she would play jazz and the music that she came to know while she was growing up. So one of those times, Les McCann came into a club and heard her and was so smitten with her piano and her voice that he went to talk to Atlantic Records, and that's how she was signed.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yep. So then, on top of that, Clint Eastwood heard her and loved the track so much from her debut album that he put First Time Ever I Saw Your Face in Play Misty for Me.
Mm.
So think about the possibilities, both of you.
Keep gigging.
You know?
That's the point. Sometimes those crappy gigs turn out.
That's right. That's right. Just because they seem crappy to you at the time.
You never know who's going to be there.
That's exactly the case. And you know, both of you know this. I mean, you're both young, but you know that even if there's just a couple of people in the room, you don't know who those couple of people are.
Very true.
So you have to play as if you're playing in front of Carnegie Hall. So I tell you that to make a point, and things are just going to get to be spring-like for both of you because there will be more and more flowers in your garden. This whole festival, Washington Women in Jazz, is getting so much buzz. You both know that. And both of you can take credit for it because you're both exceptionally talented.
I'm telling you,
you
better
so
get
much.
Down there early on Friday night because it's going to be packed. We're going to be kicking people out. It's going to be too crowded.
That's right. That's
I know
right.
who's going to be down there Friday night. It's going to be everybody.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad. Danielle, thanks for taking the time to call. That's really great.
No,
and,
thank you so much. I'm honored to be on the radio. It's so exciting.
Well, this is cool. There'll be more of those times. Hey, you just make sure you do well in school.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle.
I'll talk to you guys soon.
All
right.
See
you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye. Amy, this is so cool. Tell us about this Young Artist Contest, because look at how excited Danielle was. This is going to be very neat to see these young women do their thing on, what, Saturday night, right?
Saturday afternoon, yeah. Last
oh, okay.
year I had it on a Tuesday night, and all the parents got mad at me because I had a big jam session afterwards, and they were like, we can't stay until 1 in the morning. Why are we dragging our kids away? They're falling asleep. I was like, it's okay. It's no big deal. It's jazz. Saturday afternoon would be a better hang. So, yeah, I've got 6 contestants this year. I have a really young pianist, a 12-year-old pianist. I have a saxophone player from Peabody. I have a wonderful drummer from University of Maryland. And then I have 3 vocalists this year. So it's getting competitive. It's getting serious. I'm pretty excited.
I guess so. And the amazing part is that there's 6 women, they're under 21, and they'll be performing for a slot for next year's festival.
That's the plan, yeah. So we've got the house band is me and Corinne Chapdelaine, who's also on the opening night, and Lydia Lewis, who's a wonderful drummer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the 3 of us will be playing for them. And they'll each do 2 selections. They've already been pre-screened. They had to audition to even get to perform at this concert. So these are the finalists. And, they're going to all get to know each other and hopefully get to know all of our – I have amazing judges. Jen Krupa, who you were playing earlier, the trombonist,
yes.
is one of my judges. Kiana Faircloth, the radio DJ at WPFW, she's another judge.
That's
and
great.
Janine Gilbert Carter, who's a fabulous singer, she'll be my 3rd judge. So it's going to be quite an affair. And I made beautiful, shiny certificates yesterday, so I'm very excited about presenting those.
You made shiny certificates. That's everything right there.
It really is.
Just like the sunglasses, you know. I'm counting on them. I'm counting on them, Amy.
I'm bringing it all together. I just need your mailing address. I got boxes.
Well, you know what? We have somebody else on the phone. I love this. This is awesome. 301 area code. Enter and sign in, please. Hello.
Hello. This is Lee Pilzer, one of the WWJF All-Stars. Just calling to say Woo-hoo! Hello and
Woo-hoo!
Thank Chris for the WWJF love she's given us by having Amy on the program today.
Oh, listen, you don't know, Lee. Earlier, in case you didn't hear, I played you and Jen Walkin' Shoes.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, I missed the first part of the program, but I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, it was in a set, and this is the beauty of doing the show, it was in a set with Michael McDonald, the Doobies, Cindy Bradley, and then I played you and Jen.
Okay, well, we're hanging with some people.
Yep.
I've actually played with Cindy Bradley. She subbed in on Diva a few times. When I was playing, and she's a great player and a great person. Hey, Amy, I'm thinking all-star guest star.
Hey, you know I'm
yeah.
on board.
The we
always have a good idea.
Year.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. Cindy Bradley would absolutely love to be a part of any kind of event you had. She would be there in a heartbeat because she learned early on. Just as Danielle was talking about being schooled when she was a little girl in what jazz, the roots of jazz really are, Cindy learned that in upstate New York. So she had that training early. She loves it.
Great. Well, Amy, get working on that, would you, Amy?
Please.
I know. Lee's got all the good ideas. It was Lee's idea to bring Cheryl Bailey down this year for the Monday Night Bohemian Caverns Jazz Orchestra Cheryl Bailey Extravaganza.
That's wonderful because, you know, we have to pay a little homage to one of the greats in guitar, Emily Remler, and that's what Cheryl's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, they're both Pittsburgh natives. Cheryl came up in Pittsburgh also, as did Emily. So
yes.
Particularly fitting tribute.
I think it's absolutely wonderful. You know, it just seems like with each year, it's just getting more variable and more fascinating, the women who are getting to play. It makes me crazy with excitement. I swear to you it does. Oh.
We want our fans crazy, don't we? Don't we, Amy?
That's the goal. Insanity.
Crazy,
just pure
excited.
Insanity. I want them to just start foaming at the mouth and just totally freaking out. That's my goal. And then wearing sunglasses, that's also part of the goal. But, you know, we'll get there.
And don't forget the T-shirts, because they're
a
big
t-shirts.
Part of this.
Yeah. Of course, how could I forget the T-shirts? So
we have the new and improved model for 2013 this year.
You do?
The
tell us.
Improved.
We do. It's
Amy?
It's inspired by the D.C. flag, so we've got three bright pink stars and then music ledger lines and then underneath a big pink bar that says the festival website, www.washingtonwomenandjazz.com. They're very exciting.
Wow.
I
know. I'm going to sign off and let you guys get back to it, and I'm going to listen. And thank you again, Trish, and Amy, I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, Lee. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you
Bye.
So much. And now that I know, like getting close to intimately your music, believe me, it's going to be a regular happening on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much for everything you're doing for us and for jazz in general.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, too. And thanks for dropping by, seriously.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yay! Oh, Amy, this has been fun.
It's been great. I don't want to forget. I should have made her talk about it. Lee, I know you played some Lil Hardin at the beginning of the show. So Lee is doing, on Tuesday of the festival, is doing a presentation on women in early jazz. So we're going to be playing a lot of early jazz tunes, and Lee's going to be talking about those. And as you know, she's a genius educator and has taught at University of Maryland and is a great professor and a great advocate for women in the jazz community, and it's been a really major linchpin in this festival. So it's going to be a really great night, and that's Tuesday at the Hill Center in Capitol Hill, Tuesday the 26th of March.
Boy, that's really exciting, and I can't stress enough how cool that particular date would be for, you know, both women and men to learn about the contributions, in case you have never known, because it's shameful that people don't know the history. You know, there are those people who would say, well, why do people have to put music in categories? Can't great music be just great music? The answer is no. It can't. You have to know the history about the music that you're playing, because you don't have a right to play it unless you're at least interested in the history. And that includes both men and women.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, you've been taught well, Amy. Man, what would you like to see blossom forth from this third annual event? This festival is getting to be really important to the Washington music scene. You've been getting accolades. What would you like to see happen this year, and then delving into next year?
Well, I'm, you know, like we were talking about, I'm really looking forward to the Young Artist Contest and, you know, getting more people involved. A big thing to me is getting more women out to the events, because I want to build the female jazz audience in D.C. I think a lot of women are intimidated to go out and see jazz, and they think it's just, you know, something that men do, or you know, you'd have to take a date to go out and see some jazz or something, but that's not how it is, and we would love to see more and more women at these gigs, and I feel like that's something we're building up, and really a reflection of what's on the stage. You know, when there's women on the stage, there's women in the audience, and that's something that I've tried to explain to a lot of club owners over the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And when there's women in the audience, there are also men in the audience, very conveniently. So
Absolutely, and that can go a few different ways without getting into a discourse about it. But you know, all different kinds of women. We just chomp at the bit to be able to support other women in this particular endeavor, because isn't this one of the best areas to live in as far as talented women are concerned?
Yeah, it's just wonderful. And, you know, it's some combination of all the great music programs that we have in the colleges around here, the great music programs and, the military bands. There's just so many amazing women hanging out, teaching here, thriving here. And to be able to highlight them has been such a great experience, and to get their ideas and their experiences in and involved with what I'm trying to do.
Well, tell us, there's a couple of different websites where we can find you and what you have done and actually what you do in your own work. So tell us where to find Amy K. Borman.
Well, my personal website is amykborman.com, and I have videos and pictures and everything ever on there. And then I have the website for the festival, which is washingtonwomeninjazz.com. And it's also on Facebook. You can look us up on Facebook under Washington Women in Jazz. We're on Twitter at WWJazzFest. We're on Tumblr. We're pretty much on everything. If you look up Washington Women in Jazz Festival, you can find us on your social media platform of choice, and communicate with me and some other wonderful women that I have, some college students working for me this year for the festival. And we'll get back to you, and we'll post a bunch of pictures as the festival is going on. So the fastest updates are going to be through the social media stuff and live photos from the events and some audio and video as well. So that's all that.
And usually I don't do this, because whenever I see somebody who has posted, please like my page, I could gag, literally. But please like the Washington Women in Jazz Facebook page, okay?
Just like me in general. If you like the page, that's a bonus. I just want to be liked, Trish.
I know, Amy. That's the rumor. And I do like you, okay? Just want to make
that
clear.
Cool. That's worth 100 Facebook likes right there.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for all that you have done and that you continue to do. It's very exciting to have your friendship is at least on Facebook, but we'll get to see each other down the road and make sure that we stay in touch so I can publicize whatever it is that you're doing, because I believe.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for putting this show together and really highlighting all the great stuff that's going on this week, and I'm glad you're as excited as I am.
Well, I'm not sure if anybody has your enthusiasm.
I could explode, but I do have some really nice YouTube videos up of me looking equally excited with sunglasses.
Yes,
on, so.
I've seen a few of them. And
I'm
you're
sorry.
So adorable. You really are, because, you know, you were actually doing the video on the Washington Women in Jazz Facebook page, and you were trying to be, like, cool because you're doing the side profile, and then you look front face camera.
And I started laughing. I tried so hard. We shot that, like, 3 times, and Rochelle Rice was there, and I called her Michelle Nice. That's not her name. And we did the whole thing, and I finished, and I said, I think I just called you Michelle Nice. We're going to have to do it again.
It's okay. I'm sure she understood in the enthusiasm of the moment. You know what? It doesn't matter if anything is technically perfect. What matters is how passionate somebody is about the cause, and you are.
Well, thank you, and I know you are too, so it's great to meet
yep.
a kindred spirit.
Absolutely. Yes, we are. Thank you, Amy, and we're going to play Danielle's song right now so you can listen in, and we'll see you somehow, some way, either during this coming weekend or next week.
All right. Yeah. Thanks so much. See everyone there.
All right, Amy. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. Oh, man, this is so awesome. I'm really tickled about the whole situation. Washington Women in Jazz. .com. You have to go there and find out about the festival. This is the first winner from last year, the Young Artist Contest they have at the festival. Check this young lady out. all of what? Did Amy say 19? This is Danielle Wirtz. This is what I picked up from a SoundCloud bite that was posted on her website, daniellewirtz.com, in the wee small hours of the morning. This is Hybrid Jazz.
gather around me, everybody, gather around me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm against. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative and latch on to the affirmative and don't mess with Mr. In Between. Yeah, you gotta spread joy up to the maximum and bring gloom down to the minimum and have faith or pandemonium is liable to walk upon the scene. Well, to illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. Well, what did they do just when everything looked so dark? Don't you know they had to accentuate the positive and
Ryan. Oh my God. Let me tell you something. What a pleasure it is to play the music that we're playing today. Jackie Ryan from Listen Here. The song actually that is a, well, we've known the song for a long time because it's been part of our childhood, right? But the album is just garnering such praise, I can't even say. Number one on the jazz charts. And I couldn't be happier. I have loved Jackie Ryan now for several years, and to see her do this well, she's always done pretty well. But it just seems like more and more people are getting wind in different kinds of jazz avenues. And when she has an album like this that is with John Clayton and friends, Jackie on vocals, Gerald Clayton on piano and organ, John Clayton on bass, Gilbert Castellanos on trumpet, Graham Dechter on guitar, Obed Calvert on drums, and Ricky Woodard on sax. You have got yourself a package and a half. And when Jackie was doing this album, she was under some true emotional duress. So for her to have pulled off Accentuate the Positive took some doing. She's amazing. I am proud to call her my friend. And look, if you are going to be in the Yoshi's area on the 24th, you do not want to miss Jackie Ryan. You hear me? She's going to have her listening party, CD release get-together at Yoshi's on the 24th. Thereafter, she is going to be at Chris's Jazz Cafe in the early part of April. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go see her in Philadelphia. She's going to play a couple of days. My son's birthday is on April the 4th, so it's going to be a busy stretch of highway. You know what I'm saying? But if you get a chance, please see Jackie in person. I had to change ears to make the point. She is so unbelievable on stage. She really takes you into her embrace. There are many people who know how to play and sing proficiently, but Jackie Ryan is just different. It's that that Irish Mexican combination in her that does something. She just charms the pants off you, okay? And sometimes that's literally, well, that's afterwards when people go home. But you know what I'm saying here. She's just amazing. Accentuate the Positive. On this particular album, there are some songs that you may know. There are 14 of them. She does a version of I Loves You, Porgy, that will make your hair stand on end. I'm not kidding. She poured her heart into each of these songs because that's where her heart was at the time that she was doing these recording sessions. She had to drag herself out of bed sometimes because of the emotional stuff that she was going through. She's just amazing. Okay, I'll go on now. Wynton Kelly, born in 1931, passed in 1971 from Kelly at Midnight in 1960. Whew. A song called Temperance. One of those piano guys that it seems doesn't get enough accolade. If you would talk to Brad Meldow or Monty Alexander, they would tell you how much Wynton Kelly's style meant to them through the years, very influenced by him. Wynton Marsalis, named after Wynton Kelly. Wynton played with Miles Davis and Dinah Washington, and part of significant tracks on Freddie Freeloader and Naima from John Coltrane. Surrounded himself with really good people like Paul Chambers on bass and Philly Joe Jones on drums for that particular project, Kelly at Midnight. Really amazing. And just, I've heard some stories through the years, and one of them I'll keep to myself. It's in regard to Miles Davis and what Miles Davis told him one day, but Wynton went through a lot of stuff with people, and went through a lot of stuff with his health, too. And when you hear a song where you can hear the length and breadth of that kind of mastery, just makes your head spin. Whew. And we've played some really great music today, and it's in homage to Amy K. Bormitt and what she has done with the Washington Women in Jazz Festival. Wanted to play some significant work so that songs would pop out at you. And I've got a few more I want to play, doggone it, because we have the time to do it. Hopefully we'll get to all of these. Let's play some more. Wanted to play this a few days ago because if anybody knows where Johnny Kraft is, one of the great Philadelphia disc jockeys who used to be at WMMR, please get in touch with me because Johnny used to play this for me on my birthday, but it was his birthday on March 14th, and we didn't get to this. So now we will. Yusef Lateef and Nubian Lady from The Gentle Giant back in 1971 on Hyper Jazz. Oh, and I've clicked the wrong thing because I'm so excited about playing it for you. Here it is. Enjoy. Kenny Barron, by the way, on piano, and he wrote the song. Thank you.
by railway. You can reach me by trailway. You can reach me on an airplane. You can reach me with your mind. You can reach me by caravan. Cross the desert like an errand man. I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. You can reach me by sailboat, climb a train, swing rope to rope, take a sled and fly down slow into these arms of mine. You can jump on a speed coat, cross the border in a blazer robe. I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. There are hills and mountains.
Now, how much you want to bet that when Brenda Russell heard her song in Olita Adams' mouth, she had to sit down? Woo, Lord. Oh, I love Brenda Russell, and I know that Brenda Russell loves Olita Adams, and I'm sure there was joy, unconditional, when she heard that particular song. That means so much to so many of us. Oh, my gosh. Speaking personally, that song got me through a time or two. Not that long ago, ladies and gentlemen, Olita Adams from 1990 from Circle of One. Just a little interesting story. Olita had been part of the Seeds of Love project from Tears for Fears. And Roland Orzabal wanted to do something for her, so he produced Circle of One, in case you didn't know that. And one of the songs on the album, in case you hear a paper in the background, that's Rufus, my black cat, his sister Chaka Khan, is milling about, looking at the telephone cord. Rufus has decided to sit on paper, so he's making noise. I apologize. Anyway, Olita did this song, and she, of course, had no idea that the song would just absolutely explode. And it just seems like no matter what she is going to do from now on, Get Here will be associated with her forevermore. And that's really not a bad thing. Olita is going to be turning 60 in May. Yay, you joined the club, Olita. Yahoo! And she will be at B.B. King's in April. She will be at Yoshi's in April. And she's going to come to the Soil Dove in Denver. And then later on this year to the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia, and to Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland, in case you are keeping score. If you get a chance to see her, she is also one of those lovely, very warm, just beautiful, that the heart is exposed on stage, and she allows herself to be vulnerable. It's just a beautiful, healing experience to see Olita Adams. We also heard Mark Meadows. Let me tell you about Mark Meadows on keyboard. Mark is one of these beautiful artists in Baltimore that we love so much. What you heard is When I Fall in Love from his A Child is Born CD from a few years back. And Mark, and you go to Mark G as in God, Meadows.com, and you'll see more about him. Mark is the musical director of Faith Christian Fellowship. He is the one who turned me on to the church, and now my son and I are going to the church. A couple of weeks ago, he and this other wonderful young man from Peabody did a version of A Child is Born by Thad Jones that made the hair in the collective church body stand on end. Just beautiful. He is so exceptional on that keyboard and a loving soul. He has a lot of gigs, and I want to make sure that you know about the one happening tonight at Columbia Station. Mark is one of these people, everybody wants to play with him because he's so extraordinary and so generous when he plays with you. It's all about you when you play, but when you see him at the helm of his own group, that's when some real magic happens. He has put together, for whatever reason, there have been different people that have come into Faith Christian Fellowship on Sunday. We have the best ensemble of talent of any church in the area. I will say that boldly. Just different kinds of music, jazz and black gospel and contemporary Christian and bluegrass and country and folk. These different kinds of people have come together to make this unit that is just indescribable. It's an anointing every time you hear the music at that church. And Mark is the big reason why. So there he is, his little version of When I Fall in Love. So beautiful. Who did that song? Heyman and Young are the writers of that song. And we heard Yusef Lateef, Nubian Lady from The Gentle Giant from 1971, the Kenny Barron written song. And I think that Dr. Lateef is going to be 93 this year. Oh, my God. So glad that he's still with us. I just want to proceed. I promise to play this song, and I want to play EC3. He called a little while ago to say hello to Amy K. Bormitt on the show, and I want to play this song. We might not get to any other song, and I don't think that we will, but that's okay. Let's get to this one. Simone from EC3, It's All About the Rhythm. The Rhythm on Hybrid Jazz. I just love that tune so much. I told EC3, look, here's the deal. I really like the CD. It's all about the rhythm so much, and you just find songs that you gravitate to. That is Frank Foster's Simone. Actually, I love everything on the CD, and I just find it fascinating that on this particular album, EC3's latest, by the way, it's all about the rhythm, there is a version of Close to You, the Carpenter song, and Jeffrey Osborne also has that on his new CD. Yeah, pretty cool. The It's All About the Rhythm tour continues with EC3. He's going to be at Churchill Grounds, and hopefully you are friends with him on Facebook. If not, I'll keep you in the loop as far as that is concerned. He's been doing a lot of interviews, and I really appreciate him taking the time to stop in and talk to Amy K. Bormitt today to talk about how he supports women in jazz. That's awesome. Thank you, EC. Yay! Love that song. That featured, by the way, a lady we spoke of, Janelle Gill on piano. Wasn't she awesome? And Michael Bowie on bass with EC3 on drums. We heard two. What else did we hear? Oh, actually, we did not. I was going to get to Jerry Allen. I can't get to her today. I'll get to her on Thursday. Also, the Ella Fitzgerald song I was going to play. I'll keep that for Thursday. And I'm going to tell you who's going to be on the show on Thursday. Are you ready? David T. Stevens and Integrity Reeves. You just do not know what you have in store for you this Thursday. It's going to be cool. And I'll have to check on the times. Let me see if I can find out here. Yes, David P. is coming your way just before 2 o'clock. Integrity is going to plow right in there as best that she can because they both have raggedy schedules. So we're going to see what we can do to make sure that both of them at least get 30 minutes or 45 minutes apiece. That would be the ideal scenario. Next week, we've got Romaine Cullen. Thank you very much, Tim Green, for the heads up regarding that. And then next Thursday, it's Todd Marcus, one of the beloveds in Baltimore, who bows a lot to his father's Egyptian heritage and plays bass clarinet amazingly. Thank you to Beach for hanging in, Griselda, for Amy Kay for stopping by, all of our guests, Danielle, and so many more who stopped by anonymously. It was really cool. Thank you again. We'll see you on Thursday on Hyper Jazz. God bless.